Hello, I'm Frieda Morrison. Welcome to Scots Radio. The lineup in this episode includes a visit to the Scots Language Awards in Dundee and speaking with some of the folk involved, Sheena Wellington, Ellie Beaton and Taylor Dyson. And our special guest is Ina the Winners, Claire Yule for Brockland Theatre Group. And we join the pupils for Banff Academy celebrating the publication of the new book launched and sorted in the company of our national marker, John Mackay. It's all there, or thereabouts, with the help of our soon sorter, Richie Werner. Richie, you there?
How we doing? How we doing, folks?
First about you, then. Only adventures we can hear about.
Och, I don't know. I'm just settling back into the routine. The wee lassie's been back at school, and just the end of the summer, and trying to remember to go and pick up all my crab apples and do something with them. So, and it's all been happening, so it's working out.
I mentioned Dundee there. I'll tell you more about that in a minute.
Oh, aye, brilliant.
Just recently, I had the pleasure of the company of Mary Campbell and watching her new production, The Living Stone.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a great production, and just the other night I was doing a conversation session with her at the Tarland Hall. What a great event that was. Mary was superb. Right, we start with some music for one of my favourite albums this year, the Scottish Fiddle Orchestra, and they're inviting us to go on a journey through the melodies that evoke the spirit of the land, Richie. The spirit of the land.
Spirit of the land.
That's it.
There we go.
And we just love evoking. We're good evokers. Richie, okay, aye. Fit about dancing, though. Do you fancy a wee dance?
Aye, if it's okay, Gordon's, I'm in. Let's
okay.
go.
Okay. So, with the help of the tune, Willie Kids, welcome to Orkney. Join Richie and me in the gay gardens, okay? Well, just imagine we're joined up, I suppose. Are you ready, Richie? Talk to your partners, and off we go. Brava.
Yeah.
Do this one, Richie. Move to the left. Turn the boot, back lens, hold it, kick a boot, fast, play! Thank you to the Scottish Fiddle Orchestra for that wee dance about. It's for their album, The Sleeping Warriors. As I said, just one of my favourites. Richard, we did it. We managed to dance it.
Aye. Brilliant.
No. Folk all of Scotland gathered in the Discovery Point building in Dundee for the 7th Annual Scots Language Awards. curated by Hands Up for Trad and Simon Toomier, for help with Ali Heather. It's a highlight of the Scots calendar, celebrating and recognising the folk that have made a big contribution to the Scots language all throughout the land. For songsters, theatre productions, dedicated teachers, screevers, businesses, 45 nominees and guests gathered are showing Scots in their own unique way. Our keynote speaker was Wheel Kent singer Sheena Wellington, the best Dundee ambassador that you could ever have the pleasure to hear and meet. And Sheena got us off to the rush start, and I got Sheena's reaction to the event.
Well, the idea that we've actually got a party for the Scots lead, and all the folk that have been working, writing books, writing songs, teaching bairns, singing, and I could have cuddled them all. I really could have hugged them all. I just wanted to put my arms round them and say, you're marvellous.
We've come a long way.
We've come an awfully long way.
Again, in your speak right at the beginning, you were going back to your own school days.
Yeah.
You know, and found
when you got the belt for speaking Scots.
Absolutely. I wish we'd a pound for every time somebody tells us I've got the belt for speaking Scots.
Yeah. Again.
But we're past all that.
We're past all that. And now you're getting teachers and headies and politicians and all the rest of it speaking Scots and being comfortable with it.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing.
It's just your hair good.
It does not.
And you can't imagine just how far it's come. In a very short space of time, it feels, but it's been a long space of time, in some ways, again.
But just folk are proud of it now. Folk are not wanting to be put down.
No.
Folk got put down for speaking Scots. They thought they were ory, they thought they were common, they thought they were stupid. There were none of these things.
It's either the richest language you'll ever hear.
It's got great, and it's got words for nothing. I mean, think of Scunner.
Aye.
Now, the only synonym that there is for Scunner is Drebok, and that's Scots as well.
But you just imagine a phone kiss in English.
No.
One phone kiss. It just doesn't hear the
doesn't
same.
Doesn't hear the same.
Doesn't hear the same day.
A has the same.
A phone kiss. Just something like that.
It's
you can't explain
simple,
it to folk.
But
you can. It can be the funniest of languages, but it can reach the innermost
it can
part
hit
of your
passion.
Head. And passion.
I can hear passion.
And folk didn't understand
and people didn't think. People, a lot, there's still folk that think it's only for comic turns.
Aye.
It's not just for comic. We just heard young Ellie Beaton there singing What a Voice.
Oh.
That was magnificent. It had depth. It had feeling. It had, what a voice. What a voice.
Aye.
What a voice.
And that's it. I was looking at you and you just sat there and smiled.
What else could you do? You just had to think, this is it. The tradition lives.
It lives. That's the very thing. Listen,
thank you
for my supper last night.
You're very welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It was a
I got a compliment for the supper for the twa guests that we had, the other guests we had last night.
Look, a super night we had.
We had a rare night.
Here's the next thing. Sheena Wellington, and the tradition lives. Aye, it does. With a lot of thanks to folk that has kept it alive and thriving. And a big part of that is due to Sheena Wellington. This is one of my favourite songs from Sheena, her own song, The Women o' Dundee.
Now the men, they were lazy, but the work was hard to find. The parish on the means tested to face. But a lassie's hands are nimble and a lassie's wages small. So the women o' Dundee worked in their place. And the wailing o' the bummer and the clacking o' the limbs brought the women o' Dundee to their bed. And they worked in mills and factories and they rocked for seven to fed. And the women kept the bairns o' Dundee fed. Now my mother and my granny and my aunties in and all went to the limbs the day they left the scale. They didn't work for freedom, independence or the rest. They just worked to get some kitchen to their kale. And the wailing o' the bummer and the clacking o' the limbs brought the women o' Dundee to their beds. And they worked in mills and factories and the rocked for seven to five. And the women kept the bairns o' Dundee fed. Thank you. like an other limbs. Their youth and health and strength was lost to jade. But the weavers and the spinners and the winders of Dundee had a spirit that the hard times never paid. And the wailing o' the bummer and the clacking o' the limbs brought the women o' Dundee to their bed. And they worked in mills and factories and the rock receiving to fed. And the women kept the bairns o' Dundee fed. Now you may boast a noble lineage and sing off your Highland clan and hail some gallant chief who shares your name. But my line's as good as any, and I'm very proud to say it was fae a Dundee weaver that I came. And the wailing o' the bummer and the clacking o' the limbs brought the women o' Dundee to their beds. And they whacked in mills and factories and the rocked was even to fair, and the women kept the bairns o' Dundee fair.
The Women of Dundee, fae Sheena Wellington. And as you heard, Ina the Highlights was the singing fae guest performer Ellie Beaton, fae Rothie Norman in Aberdeenshire. And fit her voice! Ellie won the BBC Radio Scotland Young Traditional Musician Award 2025. So before we hear her sing, has life been the same since that award, Ellie?
No, it hasn't. It's been so busy this year. I feel like I've never been at home. The hail few months that I've been one.
So what have you been doing?
So I've been working on arranging a new album, but I've also been working up in the Broch with bairns and schools as part of a YMI project and all.
So tell me more about your album.
So it's going to be songs fae Aberdeenshire, specifically round about the area of Rothie Norman, which is where I grew up. And then a couple of my own written stuff in there and all.
Your own? Mm-hmm. Have you written your own?
It's a recent thing in the last few years.
I thought, because you never mentioned that before.
No, and I wouldn't have mentioned it, though.
But that's great, you've got a couple of your own smashing. So then, after the album's out, things you've got planned?
So
launching it, obviously.
Launching it, and then hopefully going to share it with as many folk as I can. So in various venues and festivals next year. So.
You got them tied up yet?
Got a few booked, and then I'm just sending out emails every week, hoping that somebody will tack me on.
I would think I love the folk will tag you on.
You'd be surprised.
So, what have you got booked so that folk will come?
I've got a gig at Celtic Connections in 2026. And then I've got Orkney Folk Festival, and then a couple of folk clubs there and all. So.
That sounds busy. What a great place this is.
I was actually feared that they were going to put me on a boat, so...
Looking at the boat out there, the Discovery, I wouldn't mind being put in that boat.
I got off a seasick, so nay for me.
Okay, I think we'll finish on that note. Thank you very much. Just about to start, we better go. Ellie Beaton. And this is Ellie, recorded at BBC Studios in Glasgow after the announcement that she had won the title Young Traditional Musician of the Year. This is The Fight Taraku.
In 1911, boy George... National insurance, so it he to be paid by every man that's a rocht in the land, including Bra Patterson's hard working band. Toodalai, toodaloo, and the star of it all was to fight Taraku. Toodalai, toodaloo, and the star of it all was to fight Taraku. National insurance said Robbie nae fear, sign he was ordering the coup to appear. I upset the judge on your freedom you'll take, so the rest of the fae armors they paid Robbie's fine. Toodalai, toodaloo, and the star of it all was the fight Taraku. Toodalai, toodaloo, and the star of it all was the fight Taraku.
was still overdue. So the bailiffs they pointed at Robbie's fight coup to pay off his debt plus expenses on me. They would unction the coup off in Tara Toon's Square. Toodaloo, toodaloo, and the start of it all was the fight, Tara coup. Toodaloo, toodaloo, and the start of it all was the fight, Tara coup. New liberty offered to pay for the coup. So a riot of the thousand folk Ilir didn't see you. Stable the old auctioneer at a height, and they felt it the boobies' favourite sight. Toodaloo, toodaloo, and the start of it all was the fight, Tara coup. Toodaloo, toodaloo, and the start of it all was the fight, Tara coup. Sign the coup, she broke loose, and went to we have heat. We heard tail and a wash, she did speak. She burned her through Tara, though files die hard pressed, till she was catched and placed under arrest. Toodaloo, toodaloo, and the start of it all was the fight, Tara. Toodaloo, toodaloo, and the start of it all was the fight, Tara. Was clubbed in and they bought the coup back. Sign a great hero of your dead mark. A laughing all set was a right. How'd you do? But the start of it all was that far famed fight.
Okay, Ellie beaten in a fight, Tara coup, that we heard real and recht at Dundee. It was fantastic. And I just note, my grandfather was at that historic event with the fight, Tara coup, playing his pipes. Richie!
She was amazing, eh? What a rebel.
He was a rebel. Surprise, surprise.
Brilliant.
Now then, Taylor Dyson, Farr was a co-presenter at the Scottish Language Awards. She's from Dundee, is the National Library's new Scots Skiver of the Year. She's a playwright, poet, and actor, and runs the Elfie Packet Theatre Company. So, what's the year been like for her, Taylor?
This year's been brah. It's been filled with Scots, which has been great. I've been having the chance to research Scottish women writers, working class women poets from Scotland at the library, which has been great. I've been writing loads, obviously, performing loads, and yeah, I'm looking forward to doing the Scots Language Awards today. I'm hosting it with Lynn Campbell. She's an Angus born folk singer and storyteller, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, it's just been a good year. I'm really, really happy now.
So you mentioned that you're getting a chance to do some writing. Fit a boot.
So I've been writing a couple of plays. One of them is about Dundee women's history. It's more kind of geared towards a younger audience. And yeah, just to celebrate women's history that often goes untold.
Aye.
And then I'm also writing a play that's a bit more autobiographical, mm-hmm. based on relationships of mothers and daughters, and that's all in Scots, and it's a kind of poetic storytelling piece as well. So I've been focused on those two the new, and then in November I'm writing a wee piece for Push the Boat Out Festival with a Scots poet, Craig Aitchison. So we're collaborating on that together.
Taylor, that's a huge amount of work. How do you manage juggling all that? And getting into the library as well and doing some research?
Yes, and doing bits of performance as well, which has been good. I love it. It's what I love.
It's what you were born to do.
I think so.
Great. Well, I can hear Simon Toomey's voice in there. The sound of, I said I wouldn't keep you along because you're due for the sound balance and everything. A pleasure speaking to you again.
It's been great to speak to you again. Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to the day.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Taylor Dyson, for I was presenting the Scots Language Awards along with Lynn Campbell. Beautifully Dean as well, just super. And performances along with Ellie Beaton, we had slam poetry champion Hamish McDonald and singer Amy Leach. Fantastic day. And you can get all the results, far one fit, on the Hands Up for Trad website. Listen to this. Projects.com handsupfortrad.scot. Projects.handsupfortrad.scot. Fit an event that was. Congratulations to the organisers and the performers. The tradition lives, as Sheena said. This is specially for Steve Byrne, for I was presenting the award to Ellie on behalf of Trax, Tradition, Arts and Culture Scotland. He mentioned his hero, the late Jim Reid, born in Dundee. This is for Taylor Dyson as well. For a conversation I had with Taylor last time we met, we spoke about her research into the works of the Dundee jute mill worker Mary Brooksbank. This is Jim Reid singing Mary's song, Oh Dear Me, or the jute mill song.
Oh dear me, the mill's gaeing fast, and the pair wee shifters canna get nae rest. Shifting bobbins, coarse and fine, they fairly mock your work for your ten and nine. Oh dear me, I wish the day was done, running up and doing the passes nae fun. Shifting piece and spinning, warp weft and twine, to feed and clade my bairnies off in 10 and 9. Oh dear me, the mull's gaeing fast, and the bare wee shifters canna get nae rest. Shifting bobbins, coarse and fine, they fairly mark your work for your ten and nine. Oh dear me, the world's ill divided, them that worked the hardest are the least provided. But I'm unbite contented, dark days are fine, there's no much pleasure living often 10 and 9. Oh dear me, the mull's gaeing fast, and the pair wee shifters canna get nae rest. Shifting bobbins, coarse and fine, they fairly mark your work for your ten and nine.
Just a classic. Jim Reid singing Mary Brooksbank's song, Oh Dear Me, or the Jute Mill song. And I have to mention that I met Mary at the very first Blairgowrie Folk Festival, and we sat here in a blether on the bench at the side of the river doing for the brig. I remember that really clearly. She was just a lovely, lovely lady. And it's time to welcome another award winner for the Do in Dundee, creative director for Brackland Scots Language Theatre. Welcome to the programme, Claire Yule. Claire, are you there?
I'm grand, thanks for having me.
Oh, Claire, it's a pleasure. I'm very surprised that folk are there. You can, we do this via distance, and it's like magic, little budgies on the line trying this all together. No, Claire, this is the second time in consecutive years you've won something. Last year, who did you win last year?
It was Community Project of the Year last year.
And this is Scotch Stage Production of the Year.
Yes.
Wow.
And that was for So Long Wee Moon, which was our show that was on about a year ago. It was on last September. And it was a play set in a wee teeny place called Snar near Crawford John. And it was set in the 1920s. And it was about a family of women, one of whom, Nancy Gibbs, was a young woman who was desperate to be a star. She wanted to be a film actress. And she came from this tiny wee place. And obviously her mum wasn't wanting her to do that at all. But she, in the story, she goes away, she gets to America and she comes back with a fancy American accent and discovers that her mum's been doing some rather, well, we say not very good things to her wee sister in the meantime. So it's a family drama with a, and I wouldn't say it's got the happiest ending in the world, but audiences just loved it and we loved it too. So it feels amazing that obviously the Scots Language Awards are voted for by the public. So it was folk voting for it that made it win. So it feels brilliant that so many folk enjoyed it, aye.
And you've just finished a successful run with The Needle Room, and that's been sold out. How will you go?
Yes, it's so, aye, we've had over 800 folk came to see The Needle Room. So that's the one that's just finished this September. It's set in Lanark in the 1930s. It's a thriller, I would say, set in a big fancy house called Castle Park. It's a real house in Lanark between these three characters. And it's gone down an absolute storm. It's been amazing.
So what's the secret? You've been packing them in every single night into the little wee halls, our Clydesdale.
What is the secret? So what we promise our audiences is we make Scots language theatre, and that's the Scots part is obviously really important to us. But really what the promise we make to audiences is you're going to have a cracking night out. If you come to see our show, you're going to have a great night. You're going to see a great story. It'll be at the highest professional standards. You're going to see incredible actors. Like our actors have been on stage at the Globe. They've worked all over the world. We've got incredibly accomplished people that live, a lot of them live in Clydesdale. So you're seeing really, really good people, brilliant design, gorgeous costumes, all of that stuff. So it's like, and in a way, the story just happens to be in Scots. The Scots part is obviously incredibly central to what we do. And we've tried some new things this time to help the actors with the Scots and kind of get that deep connection, because it's only rehearsing for 3.5 weeks. It's really not a long time. I think we can see that some of that really worked with The Needle Room, these new ways that we've helped actors approach the Scots. So it's not. I wouldn't say that the Scots is incidental, but it's the good night out part that we lead with. And I think that's what makes folk go, oh, well, let's go to that then.
No, it's going to come to that. What's the secret? What do you promise folk before they buy their tickets and come to see this event?
I think it's the story, yeah. So for The Needle Room, we set out the story in a little bit. So you've got, you know how when you read the back of your book in a bookshop or whatever, and you're like, well, I'll maybe get this one or I'll, you know, that appeals to me. So I always think about it that way. We write a wee bit to tell folk what the story's about. And in this case, it's about Rebecca, who is a young woman. She's about 30, who has had a really, really hard start in life. She actually grew up in Smilem House, which, as you might well know, was an infamous orphanage in Lanark. So she grew up there, and she then goes into the service of this wealthy family, the Galbraith family. And Jessie, who's the sort of matriarch of the family, and Duncan, he's the son, they live in the same house, but they've not spoken to each other for years. They've been in a kind of a war, essentially, for years, and Rebecca's the go-between. So she's been living like that for a long time. And then there's this heat wave strikes, which is a real thing that happened in the 30s here in Clydesdale. And as that happens, Jessie's health suddenly declines. Due to that, a whole lot of terrible secrets erupt. And for all Rebecca's a really good person, she is keeping secrets as well. So a lot of stuff unfolds and it all kind of goes from there. So she's brought to what I would say is the brink of an absolutely unthinkable choice by the middle to end part of the play. And it's definitely had audiences, going by the feedback, it's had audiences on the edge of their seats.
I'll come to feedback in a minute, though. But I mean, it's obvious by your enthusiasm, Richie and I are listening to the voices, you know, you're giving folk a crack a necht out, Claire. isn't it? That's the bottom load.
Aye, absolutely. And I think it's not just about us. So we were going into a village hall, obviously, and we put the set, and the set for this one, it's like a little beautiful gem. It's on three levels. Jess Brettel, who designed it, has done such a wonderful job. So it looks astonishing from the second you come into your village hall. And we don't put our sets on the stage. Even if the hall's got a stage, we kind of ignore it. And we put the set on the floor, and it's in traverse, so people are sitting on three sides of the stage. So that's amazing. And we do the play, and then one of the bits that we just love is after the show, which is a bit, maybe an hour and a bit long, there's a wee break, and then we bring the actors and the writer, Martin Travers, and the director, if she's there, Rosalind Sidney, back to have onto the stage to have a chat with the audience. So that's the point where we get to hear what folk think about the story they've just heard. And you would not believe some of the stuff that people tell us in these little chats, mm-hmm. about their own childhoods, about memories of the place that we're in, the community that we're in, mm-hmm. Just things that we absolutely would never get to know, that's kind of locked away in people's heads. And it's just the most satisfying way to round off the evening. It's really extraordinary. We love it.
That's really interesting, because it's a community here in a chat. It finishes after.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think what we find, Brocklan, in our plays, there's usually a couple of our founding members. So people, you know, from roundabout that help get Brocklan going, like Fletcher Mathers and James McKenzie's in this one. Gordon Dougal did the beautiful music and so on. So, there's always a couple of founding members, but there's also always several people from out west, like Shannon Lynch, for example, who's playing Rebecca, is from Glasgow. So in these little chats, it's like we're from different parts. Some of us are from nearby, some of us are from quite a long way away. There's the community that's coming to see the show. It's like we're all, as you say, just one big group of people together having a chat about something, about a story. It's like gathering round a fire to hear a story, right, and then have a chat about it. It is just gorgeous.
That's what's coming across, isn't it? But folk are sitting and listening to this thinking, far's Clydesdale again? Give them an idea of where you're at.
It's part of South Lanarkshire, so it's a kind of rural part of South Lanarkshire. We're based in Biggar. It takes in Lanark, Curlook, Lesmahago, and it serves a very, very big rural area. So it kind of stretches up to sort of touches on the Lothian, and the borders and so on. So there's loads and loads of tiny, tiny wee places and medium-sized communities that wouldn't get a tour. They wouldn't get, the big companies just can't go there with a piece of theatre, but we can. So it's amazing to kind of really get to know Clydesdale as we go along. And for the first time this year, we've been in Lanark. We've never brought a play to them before, and oh my goodness, have they embraced us. They've made us that welcome. Yeah. And they've just loved, I think, having a story set in Lanark, being performed in Lanark, and then getting to talk about it afterwards. It's just been brilliant. We've been really taken aback, to be honest.
Can I ask you, Ken Fidelis is coming across, and Rick's all about up in this. You're part of that community, aren't you?
Yes, I am from here. I'm a bit the only one that's known incomer, I have to say.
But the group is part of that community.
Aye, the whole group is, and everyone, like all our founding members live here, but that most of them, I think, am I the only one that's actually born here? I think I am, but you know, folk have been here for a long, long time. Some of them, they've moved here. Martin, the writer, he's been in Lanark for, I think it's about 17 or 18 years now. But yeah, so we're from here. And I think that's one of the things that I love about, because it's me on the door and it's me that's kind of, you know, dealing with tickets and stuff. So when folk come, they're saying, oh, hiya. Oh, I knew your papa, I knew your granny, and you know. And so all of that is really just so deeply satisfying.
That
yeah.
is so good. Okay. We've just got tight. Back in, you're rushing off for other work, but fits the next plan. What's in the store for the future?
Well, we've got ideas for another big play for next year. I can't really tell you more about it other than it would be set in the First World War.
Okay.
So that's what we're thinking for next September. We're also hoping to get our sort of our folk music comedy called The Severed Lug on next year, which it's set in the 60s. It's set in a pub called, an old abandoned pub called The Severed Lug. And
love
we
it.
Did a wee test run of it this year. And it just went incredibly well. It's really funny. The music's gorgeous. So we're hoping to get that on at some point next year as well. So there's lots coming.
Richie Fidimaka, this is just fantastic news, isn't it?
Severed Lug. I would quite have a drink there. That sounds great.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want to have a drink there, I tell you. It's a spooky place. Yeah.
I've been in that pub.
Oh, Claire, thank you. And Mare Power to your productions. It just sounds fantastic. And congratulations again on behalf of Richie and myself. It's fantastic to have you back on. And please come back and join us again and tell us your adventures.
course I will. Thank you.
Bye, the new.
Thanks, cheerio.
Okay, time for a bit of mere music. This is for a new album for the band Brogue. Fa has a lineup with Sandy Breathen on box, Gary West on pipes, and Gregor Borland on fiddle. This is a set of great tunes, starting with the tune The Hearts of Cromdale.
Thank you.
fantastic album. It's Brogue, for their new album, If the Shoe Fits. And as I said, it's just a really, really good album. And mere congratulations are due this time to pupils and teachers at Banff Academy. I had the pleasure of joining the gathering up at Banff Castle for the launch of a new book. It was put together by pupils to revive and rediscover Doric words and celebrate the connections between language, place and nature in the northeast of Scotland. The Doric Glossary of the Wild, published by Doric Books, is called Words of Banff, a youth charter for the bairns of Banff. And it contains a list of names and descriptions of birds, beasts and beasties, with descriptions of them all. And now the pupils in the book have just been awarded a Scots language publication grant for the Scottish Book Trust. Stuart Cleland is the principal teacher of product-based learning at Banff Academy, and he told me more about the project.
Over the past few weeks, what we've been doing in class is investigating the connection between disappearing words and disappearing wildlife. We've been trying to see the connections between the words that we use, the language that we use, and our connection with the wider world.
Now, when you say the language, what do you mean?
Well, we're local language, a local dialect, we're local accents, whatever it is that we identify with.
Known as Doric, maybe?
Known as Doric, that's right. Us. We've been looking at the Doric words for nature and how perhaps when we lose these words from our general parlance, that might make a difference to how we feel about nature and biodiversity, and how when we have that personal, emotional connection with history or our family or our traditions, that might make us feel a wee bit more inclined to do something about the decrease in biodiversity in the local area.
So you're saying that words like bumblebee or foggy bomber would be in Doric. If that disappears, it has an emotional effect on our use of language? Is that correct?
I believe so. I think that we've been investigating how when we lose connection with the land, that makes a huge difference to how we think it should be used. And that emotional connection that we get from words that's been passed in for our grandfathers and grandmothers and that type of thing, these stories and folklore and words that we've grew up with might make us feel a wee bit less connected if that disappears. And we've been hoping that the kids can reconnect with that and through that maybe get a reconnection with nature.
So the book, if it's going to be in the book?
So we've decided to make a Doric Glossary of the Wild.
Well?
Well, what happens is we found all these different words for different plants or different insects or different animals, and what we did is we wrote up our personal experiences with that, and we've made a book which then can be used in our Scottish language classes that we have at Banff Academy, so that we can introduce our younger pupils to some of these words if they're not familiar with them, but also their connections with it, whether they've got stories from family or from when they were younger, their relationship with different plants or insects. And we feel that that's going to help care a bit more about a local community.
Stuart Cleland, Principal Teacher of Product-Based Learning at Banff Academy. Now, Daisy Sutherland and Kirsty Adamson are two of the pupils involved in the project. Right, I've got Kirsty and Daisy from Banff Academy in front of me, and they were involved in making this book come to life. If it's going to be launched today, we're just hearing the pipes in the background as well, starting, and guests are arriving. But before they do, Daisy, you've got almost like a statement that you've got written in front of the book. Read it for me.
We, the young folk of Banff, speak no fear the words they slipped away like burn water bin the steams. We speak for the land that huds the memory of Ilkaroot, Dyke, Bray, and birds sang as we speak for thone beasties and bloom that dinna hae a voice o' their ain. We winna let that be forgotten.
You winna let that be forgotten. Right, Kirsty, tell me, what did you get out of doing it?
We learned about like the endangered like words and animals that are in our like area. Mm-hmm. Like, but we learned about them in Scots, so we're also making sure we know about like the language that might be forgotten if we don't keep speaking it.
Aye. It has to be spoken, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, we've got beasties and we've got birdies in there in the book. So if it was speaking about, how many beasties and birdies can you remember if it's in the book? Daisy?
Oh, I can mind the reed squirrel, the aye, wild cat, the corn bunting, the muckle yallow bumblebee.
The foggy bummer.
Foggy bummer.
The foggy bummer. If it about the scurry, you remember the seagull?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing, isn't it? The scurry. There's a lot of scurries going about.
Definitely.
What did you get out of marking the book?
I definitely think it's important because thing you're learning about it, you're also learning how people used to speak a lot more back then than how we do speak now. So it's almost bringing it back to life through the new generation of folk.
Do you think it'll be brought back to life?
Hopefully, but a lot of folk don't speak it the same anymore.
No,
so we'll see.
That is good. Because it's difficult to care and to say to folk why it's important, isn't it?
Definitely.
I've been trying to kind of work that out for all that. Why do you think it's important that this language should be kept alive?
I think it's important because it's a way for us to understand the people like that lived before us and stuff. And like a lot, like, well, my grandparents and like even my mum and dad speak this like language. I feel like it's important so we can understand the way that they used to live when they were our age too.
It's important they need to lose their voices, isn't
it?
And you can actually hear their voices when you're speaking the language. And if you lost it, what would it mean to you, Daisy?
Well, I grew up with, like, a Doric house. Like, everyone, my mum, my dad, my granny, my granddad, all spoke Doric. So I just grew up with that. So it would be, like, a shame if we lost it, because it's almost like losing, like, their language that they grew up
their
with.
Their voices.
Their, like,
and
voices.
And their memory.
Yeah. So if we lost that, it's almost like we would just be like not have our own special thing to the people that speak it, if you get what I mean.
The people have come before you. Aye. Okay, your revenge is about to begin. The pipes have stopped. That means folk are arriving again.
Yeah.
Thank you for this. I enjoyed
no problem.
It. Thank you. Banff Academy pupils Daisy Sutherland and Kirsty Adamson. Now, the launch of the Banff Academy book was appreciated and welcomed by Scotland's macker, Dr. Peter Mackay. Peter gave me what he thought was the importance of this publication and project.
As human beings, we live in place and we live in language. And the more words we have, the more distinctive words we have for talking about the natural world around us, the richer our lives are. And the more access we have to history, our own history, our own stories, our own people, as well as the people that lived in this place. And so this book is fantastic. All the different words for seagull, because it means
the
we
story.
Know...
I loved
that. The Scottie especially, but I think there were six of them there. And she's going, okay, we know seagulls, and we know them in all of their weathers. And you can actually then use these slightly distinctive ways, and you tell a richer story.
It's the richness of the language that I love. I mean, I'm obviously biased because I'm from this area. But I was speaking to two of the folk that, the two of the students that made the book as well, and they were referring to the fact that they wanted the words to survive because it was the voices of their parents, their grandfathers, and they didn't want to lose their voices.
And the important thing is that it's voiced rather than just in books. That it's something that's used on a daily basis, and it's to keep these on people's tongues rather than just on, say, a book in the library or an information board in a park. To have as many people speaking them as possible.
Right. I kind of hear you here, and they mention the fact that we've just gone through the legalisation of the Scottish Languages Act. The bill has been passed. What are your hopes and fears that will happen now?
So the great thing is that there is official status for the first time ever in law for Scots and in Gaelic as national languages, and that equal respect is due to them. What that means is the nub. And I think there's been an awful lot of work to get to this stage. But we have to keep, the Gaelic phrases, keep the coal to the feet of politicians at all points to ask for more and more and more. Because, yes, we can push for more schools that are Gaelic-speaking. Where are the Scots-speaking schools? Where is the Scots education? Where is the Scots broadcast on a national level? I think so much more can be hoped for and dreamt for now. And having this legal background is like, well, we've got a right to equal respect. We should at the very least have people's ear more and a chance of opening doors more.
Now, the ear being a broadcaster involved in making this broadcast, you mentioned there the national broadcasting system. What can happen there or what should happen there?
Well, in my lifetime, I've seen Gaelic go from being a couple of hours on radio to a couple of hours on TV as well to a full radio station and a full TV station. There should be that in Scots as well, I'd say. And even with Gaelic, we're looking for as much coverage as possible to tell the full stories of our lives on radio and on TV across the country. I'd love to see that in Scots.
Raise the platform, raise the profile and the pride.
Raise the profile and the pride just so that you don't have the situation of people saying, oh, I'm not meant to speak like this.
How often have I heard that?
Where if we code switch into Doric or Scots, as the officials speak.
Yes. Peter, a pleasure meeting you at last. And you've got a job to do through the house.
I do. We're launching this fantastic booklet of the words of the area for the natural world. It's great. Fantastic house to do it in as well. Byron's childhood home.
Isn't it a great idea? Yeah,
great idea.
Scotland's marker, Dr. Peter Mackay. And I couldn't let Peter come all the way up for Fife, his senior lecturer at St Andrews University, without asking him for a poem. And Peter was delighted to oblige.
Yn cwlwriaf mewn tre yn eich bod yn cosioch gyda siad yr ysborog yn nesyr anam gach glwmac ys lochan ys rhw ac ys iawn ys lws. A'i hath yr yn lli. Ach nyr y rwgys i o nach bu ac yn lai e. Lŷ yn fyrwch dy fan y fysion, ffoch yn eich yn o'ch slach o ddeich ys lia thrysg. And I don't have a Scots or Doric version, but I've got one in English. Then I'm going to adjust as we go here. Have you heard tell of the girl who couldn't walk between Banff and Macduff without knowing the name of each stream and ditch and bird and insect and weed? She's still on her way. But when she comes, oh, won't that be the day of it? A plenitude of birds for trefoil, Montbrecia, night hollows, field fairs and hullets.
Thank you, Dr. Peter Mackay, Scotland's marker. And Peter comes from the west coast of Lewis, for he kens the names of all the birds and beasties. U faturo in cam ino, a future on the way. And Richie, fit a lovely day that was up at Banff Castle, looking out over the bay to Macduff and Banff Castle, for a young Lord Byron enjoyed his early years.
Oh, goodness me.
He said, when Peter and I were kind of quoting backwards and forwards, I love Lord Byron. There is pleasure by the pathless woods. There is society by the deep sea and music in its roar. See that? No. Child Harold. And that takes us to the end of this episode. Thanks to your special guest, Claire Yule Fay Brachlan. Fine to hear you here, Claire. Come back soon. So, Richie, we will dance our way out of the programme again as we dance our way in.
Great stuff.
We could do some furrows again. Abby seems to be doing the slosh these days. I'm not going to try the slosh. Can you do the slosh?
I think we should just go for a strip the willow or something.
Okay, let's do a strip the willow.
I can that, you'd.
Okay, bring up the music, dude. This time to the sounds of the music of the land, the music of Phil and Barbara. Just one of my favourite albums, Music of the Land. And of course, in the band is Mary Campbell. Okay. In this track, we have Ross Ainslie, Freeland Barber, and Gary West again. Ah, him again.
Well, there he is, him.
Him. Tunes are Laxdale Cottage and the Pitlochry Highland Games. Thanks to Abdi for listening. Join us again. Okay, have you got it ready for the furrow? In the meantime,
here we go.
Enjoy your space for Richie Wayland and me, Frieda Morrison. Buy the new and pack your partner.